Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Soundcheck Podcast from WNYC, made on Varick Street.
This is Soundcheck. I'm John Schaefer. Ralph Bakshi is perhaps best known for his first film, 1972's Fritz the Cat, because it was the first animated film to get an X rating. And while that typically means there's some sexual content unsuitable for minors, and there is plenty of that in Fritz the Cat, the film is more notable for its unsubtle takes on class, gender, race, and privilege. Now, these are difficult themes even for live-action films. Bakshi made a controversial career out of exploring them in animated films like Coonskin, American Pop, Hey Good Lookin', and a bunch of others. His work is the subject of a retrospective this month at BAM here in New York. You can find full listings at soundcheck.org, and Ralph Bakshi joins me here in the Soundcheck studio. Welcome.
Hi, hello.
So this BAM festival, it's underway now. How do you feel being part of a retrospective when you yourself have sort of been out of the business for a few years?
Well, a couple of things. First of all, I've never been out of the business. The business I'm in is art, A-R-T. So I'm either drawing or painting, and right now I'm making a new film called Last Days of Coney Island. Mm-hmm. How do I feel? I feel great. I mean, what stunned me when I went to the theater, was that the entire audience is young. You know, I figured it'd be full of nostalgic, fat, overweight guys like me, but they were all kids, they were standing room only, and they knew all my films. Well, that's pretty stunning for a guy that's the kind of troubles I had and how low budgets the films were. I mean, these are very low-budget, independent movies. And I was quite taken by it all, the fact that young kids are watching my films still. My son started all this, Edward Bakshi. He's producing for me, and he's on the internet and everything, and he's showing me how that world works.
So are you not otherwise on the internet?
No, I have no time for that, and I have no fingers for that or a head. You know, I'm very old school. Let me tell you how old school I am. Every one of the great animators I work with, and painters and checkers and production people, aren't here anymore. That's how young I was when I was making the film. But that's a wake-up call. My time is about over is what I'm saying, and I think it's great that people are still watching my movies.
Yeah. Well, it's also great that you are now making movies again, and we can talk about the Kickstarter campaign and the Coney Island series.
Yeah.
But I want to ask about music, because you signaled early on in your career that music for you was a really important part of storytelling.
Oh, well, music is everything. I mean, how do I say this? You know, when you're driving around Brooklyn at night, as I used to as a kid, you got the radio on.
Right.
And music allows you to feel a certain way, depending on the music you like. I love jazz. Mm-hmm. I love Puerto Rican, Spanish, mambo during the 50s and 60s, great Afro-Cuban jazz. And when you play those songs, if you're an artist, it starts producing images. So when I was making films, if I wanted a scene to feel a certain way, or be a certain way, I'd lay in music tracks that I knew would make the scene feel that way.
Coonskin begins with this very provocative song that you wrote the lyrics for, right?
Well, you see, I write poems. I still write poems. I don't know if they're lyrics, but I gave this poem that I love to Scatman Crothers. And it says, for the opening, I said, mm-hmm. Scat, record this. Just play something. So Scat picked it up, read the lyrics a couple of times, laughed his head off. And then started just to get into what you got. Doom, 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 doom. So I wrote the lyrics, he wrote the music, and we were off and running.
Let's hear it. I mean, I have to say, Ralph Bakshi often deals with race in a confrontational and provocative way, and the language in this clip reflects that. It is Scatman Crothers performing the opening song from the film Coonskin.
I'm a minstrel man, I'm the cleaning man, I'm the pole man, I'm a shoe shine man, I'm a nigger man. Watch me dance. Shabby-doo-bee-doo, shabby-doo-bee-doo, shabby-doo-bee, shabby-doo-bee. I got the devil in me, it's the man you see. Got the devil in me, it's the man you see. Walk on, niggas, walk on. Walk on, niggas, walk on. Shabby-doo, shabby-doo, shabby-doo-bee-doo, 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 shabby-doo-bee-doo.
That is Coonskin No More from Ralph Bakshi's film, his animated film, Coonskin. Scatman Crothers singing and playing the ukulele, lyrics by Ralph Bakshi himself, the animator and director of 9 feature films, including Fritz the Cat and American Pop, The Lord of the Rings, and more. The BAM retrospective called Cool Worlds, the animation of Ralph Bakshi, runs through May 20th here in New York. Ralph's with me in the Soundcheck studio. He's apparently got the squeaky chair. And so now, listen.
I want to thank you for that, really. I mean, hearing Scat, I haven't heard that since I played it. So hearing that again with Scatman, I want to thank you for that.
Well, you know, that song pulls no punches. And when the movie first came out, there was a hue and a holler. And now, you know, where the N-word has been sort of appropriated by hip-hop and the whole conversation has shifted a bit, what is the reaction now when people hear this song?
Oh, I'm the biggest hero in the world to hip-hoppers and DJs, and everyone knows Coonskin. I mean, I had a band the other night when they played Coonskin. One of the guys, black guys, I have to say that, got up and said whether Al Sharpton ever apologized to me. But he's the guy that brought the picture down.
Right.
And I said no. But that's, of course, no. Even when there was a riot at the Museum of Modern Art by Al Sharpton, all the guys he brought to beat me up with clubs, I'm serious. Standing, they were faking it, but that's how they looked tough, right?
Right, right.
When he walked up the aisles to get me off the stage, they wouldn't follow him. He turned around and said, why aren't you guys coming? They obviously liked the movie. So he stood there. He didn't know what to do, so he left. It's a great feeling to have the film finally understood. Mm-hmm. It's an absolute great feeling.
I want to ask you about the film American Pop, because, of course, it goes to what we do on Soundcheck every day, which is, you know, we look at American culture through the lens of music, which, you know, you give us basically a century of the history of American pop music in this film. But it's not just a story about music, is it?
Well, first of all, what I wanted to do is explore music. This is all selfish. I'm making films for myself. You know, the budget allowed me to hire researchers. So all the music before the 50s, when I come in, that I knew. Mm-hmm. I didn't need an explanation. All the pre-music, the Berlins and the early turn of the century vaudeville, all that I learned about.
Mm-hmm.
It was deliriously happy. When you hear the opening with all those great themes, you gotta cry, but that's American music. Was a ball. The other amazing, unimaginable, incredible thing was that every song cost me $50 or $100. It took Columbia 20 years to get the CD out. Mm. Why? Because when they went back to put the CD out, suddenly the music costs were $5, $20, $25 million.
You could not have made this film, you know, today.
What you got there is $150 million worth of music.
Yeah. I mean, because you have some of the iconic songs of American pop history.
Nobody wanted him.
Ralph Bakshi's my guest on Soundcheck. And the film American Pop, so it follows 4 generations of the Belinsky family, all of whom have music in their blood, although for various reasons, you know, the guy who comes from the shtetls of Russia to America, there's an injury to his throat, so he's sort of on the periphery. His son is a really gifted musician, but decides to enlist in the army during World War II. And there's this really kind of heartbreaking scene in the film where they're patrolling a bombed-out city. He hasn't played the piano for a while. He breaks down a door of an abandoned house, what he thinks is an abandoned house, sees a piano, and starts to play. And as he plays, a wounded Nazi soldier sort of materializes from behind the sofa, fully armed. And this is how it sounds.
Mm-hmm. bunker.
So that's a clip from the film American Pop. So Benny Belinsky is playing the piano. He's playing, as time goes by, notices the German soldier, switches to Lili Marleen, a song that was a hit for both sides of the conflict in World War II. And Ralph, you kind of set us up for some kind of heartwarming music will bring us all together. And instead, the soldier says thank you and then shoots him. And there is a kind of a darkness to American Pop. Everybody's associated with gangsters and hustlers and drug addicts and stuff. Is that your vision of American Pop?
No. Well, first of all, my vision, when he says thank you and shoots him, that's a German killing another Jew. Nothing new about that. My vision of America is my family who came from Russia, escaped World War II, and raised me in Brownsville, Brooklyn, and I went to high schools, and they worked hard, and they kept a clean house. And my sister and my family and everyone was able to move up in society. But America is an incredibly great place. I love America. I make movies, though, about certain people that I grew up with, people that I love. Now, the music business, until you make it, is very hard. Mm-hmm. And we all know, I'm not going to hide it, the underside of the music business was filled with drugs. You know, Janis Joplin, Jimi Hendrix. I don't have to tell you the story of the usage of drugs in the business or the managers that used to buy drugs for their groups so they could stay stupid and broke and they could hide their royalties and just keep them happy to keep playing Jimi Hendrix. So that's the story of American music, too. I could avoid it. I could do a Capra film that lies to you all the time. But that's not my style because what I do like, I love people. I love the underbelly people. I love people who grow up without an education and do the best they could. They don't have the right ideas. They don't have the right education. They're not quite sure, but they're trying. Mm-hmm. Everybody in my film that seemed to be a gangster or a crook, it's just an American trying to make it. That's what gives me goosebumps.
Well, and the animation here, it's remarkable for a number of things. One of them is the incorporation, and we're talking about, what is this, 1974 or 5, where you're incorporating, especially early on, like real footage of like silent movies from the teens and the 20s, and then, you know, when your animated character is on the bus, it seems like he's passing actual photography or film or whatever. It was certainly a progressive thing to be doing back then.
Well, it comes back to what I love. Look, music creates images. I used to drive around New York in my car at night. There's nothing more beautiful than crossing the Brooklyn Bridge at 2 in the morning. It's magical if you got Tito Puente on. Or Miles Davis, you know, Coltrane. It's just beautiful. The whole thing melts. I've always used every image I could to produce an emotional feeling. Anything that helps push the scene forward in the way I want to go, I'll use.
Well, and there's a kind of a musical analog to this mixing of animation and photography or film in American Pop, and that is where you take songs that we know, but you put them in the mouth and in the hands and the fingertips of other people. So, for example, there's a couple of Bob Dylan songs that are now, in this film, attributed to the third generation of the Belinsky family. This is Tony, who has hitchhiked to San Francisco. He's fallen in with the Haight-Ashbury crowd and with a Janis Joplin stand-in called Frankie Hart, and we hear her singing, and we see Tony writing.
When the rooster crows at the break of dawn, look out your window.
You guys, everything in the world is possible, and we're just sitting here kind of doing nothing.
Frankie, we're doing fine, honey, just fine.
Fine? I don't want to hear fine. You don't make it on fine.
Ralph Bakshi is my guest on Soundcheck, and Bam is presenting a retrospective of his animated works, including this film on Sunday, May 18th. The full lineup is on our website, soundcheck.org. The retrospective is called Cool Worlds. The animation of Ralph Bakshi runs through May 20th. Let's, Ralph, bring you back to the present, because you alluded before to the Kickstarter campaign, this Coney Island project.
I felt like making another film. My son, again, Edward Bakshi, thought I should. He said he'd take care of the Kickstarter campaign. It was his idea. I had no idea you could raise money that way. And he did everything. We raised the money for a 5-6 minute film. And because things get out of hand with me, it's now 20 minutes. We're doing it like I used to do it on animation on paper. But all the effects, all the inking and coloring and all the things that cost me millions of dollars with hundreds of people in my studio, now you're doing your library on a computer program.
You know who you sound like?
Who?
Every musician in Brooklyn with a computer in his or her bedroom making a record the same way that you're talking about.
I'm stunned. We're going to bring all young filmmakers to finance the films on Kickstarter and maybe make some money on pay-per-view so they can either finish them or make a living. So what I'm trying to do in my last days of Ralph Bakshi is try to get 2D animation, which I love very much, and we're going to do it on pay-per-view. And if we make out, and we should, then we're going to have a lot of filmmakers a benefit from this. So that's my present to them.
What will the music likely be for Last Days of Coney Island?
Well, it's the 60s. Mm-hmm. So I'm buying a lot of 60s jazz. You know, I love jazz. I'm buying 60s jazz. Davis, Coltrane.
Little Mongo Santa Maria.
Mongo. I forgot about that. Thank you.
Yeah, you got to run right
Watermelon
out.
Watermelon Man.
Watermelon Man.
Oh, wow. Thank you very much. Okay. Eddie, you got that? Mongo. Okay.
All right, well, so more from Ralph Bakshi to look forward to. Last Days of Coney Island, first installment coming this summer, we're hoping.
Easily.
Yeah. All right, and in the meantime, you can catch his work at BAM. The retrospective runs through May 20th, the full lineup on our website at soundcheck.org. Ralph Bakshi, thank you very much for being with us.
That's it? That's great. I really appreciate this. Thanks a lot.
Thanks for listening. Stay connected by subscribing to the Soundcheck podcast on iTunes. Follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and download the new WNYC mobile app for free. See you next time. I'm John Schaefer.